Christ, our Paschal Lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us, therefore, celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. To him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessings and honor and glory and might forever and ever.
Shall we stand?
Come, you faithful, raise the strain of triumph and gladness. God has brought his people forth into joy from sadness. Now rejoice, Jerusalem, and with true affection welcome in unweary strains Jesus' resurrection. 'Tis the spring of souls today. Christ has burst his prison from the frost of gloom and death. Light and life have risen. All the winter of our sins, long and dark is flying from his light to whom we
Father, in your word, we are reminded in Romans 5, verse 8, that you demonstrated your love for us in that while we continued in sin, Christ died for us. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, you point out how foolish those are who have not accepted his sacrifice on the cross. But for those who do, it reveals the power of God to save them. We come before you today thanking you and praising you for all that you continue to do in our lives. As we reflect on the cross, we cannot fully understand our Savior's suffering, but this we do know: he died for us to give us hope as we journey home. Yes. We reflect on the love that flowed down, mingled with the precious blood of our Savior, that makes our joy complete. Father, we thank you for your love. your desire to fellowship with us. Without your love and your desire for fellowship with us, the sacrifice of your Son would not have been necessary. And so here we are, Lord, bowing in the shadow of the cross of our Savior, in repentance and faith, commemorating his sacrifice for the sins of the world. Through an agonizing death, he gave his life, his body burdened down in pain so the sick could be healed. Though suffering loss, whatever type of loss it may be, that they may be comforted. He was abandoned by those he called friends, so that those of us who experience rejection may feel accepted. He knew no sin, but became sin, so that we sinners could be forgiven. And again, we want to say thank you. Father, the good news of Jesus' love and his sacrifice for us strengthens our desire to taste and see that the Lord is good. We are more assured because today the tomb is empty. He lives. And so we come to celebrate and to ask our Heavenly Father to be the joy of our salvation. Because our Savior's victory over death, sin, and Satan, we have this hope to spend eternity with you. We have been redeemed. We have been set free by faith because our Redeemer endured the cross, despised its shame, and is now interceding for us at our Heavenly Father's right hand. We thank you, and we give our lives as a testimony today, knowing that you will use all things to bring good to those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Father, we give thanks and praise that we serve a risen Savior who is in the world today. He walks with us and he talks with us along our journey home. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hear our prayer, O Lord. Hear our prayer, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace.
Please be seated.
Scripture reading is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. You can follow along with me if you would like. I'm reading from the New King James. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own ways, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and judgment, and who will declare his generations? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen.
Amen.
Wondrous love is this, O my soul, O my soul. What wondrous love is this, O my soul? What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
The joy of our Lord's victory over death cannot rightfully be experienced without first endeavoring to experience by thoughtful contemplation his agonizing death, bearing the burdens of our sins of the whole world. So for the next few minutes, let us focus our minds on that awesome event as the picture unfolds through words and music. Jesus had just finished eating the Last Supper with his disciples, and as they made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, the light of the full Paschal moon illuminated the night. They had sung a hymn together, and Jesus had offered them words of hope and encouragement. But as they neared the garden, Jesus became very sorrowful. The sins of the world were being laid upon him, and his soul was burdened with an incomprehensible agony and dread. Staggering under this terrible load of the world's guilt, he passed to his place of prayer. See him there, clinging to the earth and agonizing until he sweat great drops of blood, bearing the guilt of your sins and mine.
Dark Gethsemane, ye that feel the tempter's power, your Redeemer's conflict see, watch with him one bitter hour. Turn not from his griefs away, learn of Jesus Christ to
Three times Jesus begged his Father to remove from him this unbearable ordeal. His human nature trembled under the load of guilt, and his pure heart recoiled from the shame of sin. He begged his disciples to pray for him, but three times he found them in a strange, sleepy stupor. The cup of suffering trembled in his hand, but through love for us and a desire to do his Father's will, he submitted to drinking the cup of sorrow, pain, and death. Then the Father sent an angel to strengthen him to complete his sacrifice. He was then able to go forth and unflinchingly face his tormentors.
Into a garden went my Lord, alone with God to be. With his great plan in full accord, in dark Gethsemane. Oh, how he suffered for his own in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane. As he prays on that fair brow, gray drops of blood I see. See how he agonizes now in dark Gethsemane. Oh, how he suffered for his own in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane. Crushed neath the weight of sin until he fain would be set free, knowing full well the Father's will in dark Gethsemane. Oh, how he suffered for his own in dark Gethsemane, facing the issue all alone in dark Gethsemane.
Jesus was next betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples, arrested, cruelly bound, falsely accused, mocked, derided, scorned, hurried from high priest to governor, then to the king, then back to the governor. He was whipped until his back was in shreds. A cruel crown of thorns was placed on his head and beaten into his flesh until the blood flowed. See him there, bleeding, bruised, and battered for our sins. Pilate had hoped to soften the hearts of those who desired Jesus' death by having him flogged. He said to him, "Behold, the man." But the hatred of the priest allowed for no sympathy. The mob shouted louder and louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Finally, the weak-willed Pilate handed Jesus over to be crucified. A heavy cross was placed on his shoulders. But in his weakened condition, Jesus fell beneath the load. Someone else had to carry it for him. And so the motley procession led him down the narrow street to the hill of Golgotha, just outside the city gate.
See him at the judgment hall, beaten, bound, reviled, arraigned. See him meekly bearing whole, love to men his soul sustained. Shun not suffering, shame, or loss. Learn of Christ to bear the cross.
Down the Via Dolorosa in Jerusalem that day, the soldiers tried to clear the narrow street. But the crowds pressed in to see the man condemned to die in Calvary. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating, there were stripes upon his back, and he wore a crown of thorns upon his head, and he bore with every step the scorn of those who cried out for his death. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk the road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary. The blood that would cleanse the souls of all men made its way through the heart of Jerusalem. Down the Via Dolorosa, called the Way of Suffering, like a lamb came the Messiah, Christ the King. And he chose to walk that road out of his love for you and me. Down the Via Dolorosa, all the way to Calvary.
Amen.
Upon arrival at the place of crucifixion, the two thieves who were to be crucified with Jesus struggled and tried to get away. But our dear Savior laid himself upon that cross, which was really yours, like a meek lamb. He stretched out his hands, and the cruel nails were driven into his unresisting flesh. Hear him moaning, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The cross was lifted up and roughly jolted into the hole prepared for it. The time was about 9 o'clock in the morning, and the crowds visiting Jerusalem for Passover milled around Calvary. Many knew Jesus, and they were weeping. Many didn't know him, but the sign over his head told them he was King of the Jews. See him hanging there, naked, bleeding, broken, scorned, and detested for our sins.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, 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 oh. Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?
The hours of torture wore on. But the greatest agony Jesus bore was the crushing weight of sin. So great was that heart pain that his physical pain was sometimes hardly felt. But in spite of all, he provided for his mother's care and promised salvation to the repentant thief. At noontime, inanimate nature responded to the abuse of its maker. A supernatural darkness veiled the sun's light. The sneering, jeering crowd became frightened as God, in mercy, veiled the last dying agony of his dear son.
In the thick darkness, God the Father was with his Son, yet his presence was not revealed. Jesus was not to be comforted with his Father's presence. He was to tread the winepress alone. Satan and his fierce temptations wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. He was tasting second death for every sinful child of Adam. The hosts of heaven veiled their faces from the fearful sight. Vivid lightnings occasionally flashed forth from the cloud that surrounded the cross. Everyone became terrified and attempted to grope their way back into the city, beating their breasts and wailing in fear. Finally, at about 3 o'clock, the darkness lifted from the people, but still enveloped the cross. The agony of being separated by our sins from the Father was climaxed until he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In silence, the beholders watched for the end of the fearful scene. The sun shone forth, but the cross was still enveloped in darkness. Suddenly, the gloom lifted from the cross, and in clear, trumpet-like tones that seemed to resound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished. Father, into thy hands I command my spirit." A light encircled the cross, and the face of the Savior shone with a glory like the sun. He then bowed his head upon his breast and died.
They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded. He did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone. And when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
The spotless Son of God hung on the cross, his flesh lacerated with stripes, those hands so often reached out in blessings nailed to the wooden bars, those feet so tirelessly on ministries of love spiked to the tree, that royal head pierced by the crown of thorns, those quivering lips shaped with the cry of woe, and all that he endured, the blood drops that flowed from his head, his hands, his feet, the agony that racked his frame, and the unutterable anguish that filled his soul at the hiding of his father's face, speaks to each child of humanity, declaring, "It is for thee that the Son of God consents to bear his burden of guilt. For thee he spoils the domain of death and opened the gates of paradise." Never before had the earth witnessed such a scene. Again, darkness settled upon the earth, and a hoarse rumbling like a heavy thunder was heard. There was a violent earthquake in the surrounding mountains. Rocks were rent asunder and went crashing down into the plains. Sepulchres were broken open, and the dead were cast out of their tombs. Creation seemed to be shivering to its atoms.
Savior hanging on Calvary, bearing there for sinners bitterest agony. Gratitude o'erwhelms me.
Amid the awful darkness, apparently forsaken of God, Christ had drained the last dregs in the cup of human woe. In those dreadful hours, as he relied upon the evidence of his Father's acceptance heretofore given him, he was acquainted with the character of his Father. He understood his justice, his mercy, and his great love. By faith, he rested in him whom it had ever been his joy to obey. And as in submission, he committed himself to God, the sense of the loss of his Father's favor was withdrawn. By faith, Christ was victor. Loving hands removed Jesus from the cross, wrapped him in a new linen cloth, and laid him in Joseph's new tomb. The Sabbath was drawing on. Jesus, the Creator, would rest from his work of salvation on this Sabbath, just as he had rested from his work of creation on that first Sabbath.
Survey the wondrous cross,
night of the first day of the week had worn slowly away. The darkest hour just before daybreak had come. Christ was still a prisoner in his narrow tomb. The great stone was in place. The Roman seal was unbroken. The Roman guards were keeping their watch. Hosts of evil angels were gathered about the place. Had it been possible, the Prince of Darkness would have kept forever sealed the tomb that held the Son of God. But a heavenly host surrounded the sepulcher. Angels that excel in strength were guarding the tomb, waiting to welcome the Prince of Life. Suddenly there was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. The bright beams of God's glory went before him and illuminated his pathway. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Yes. The earth trembles at his approach. The hosts of darkness flee. He rolls away the stone as if it were a pebble. And the soldiers hear him cry, "Son of God, come forth. Thy Father calls thee." They see Jesus come forth from the grave and hear him proclaim over the rent sepulcher, "I am the resurrection and the life." As he comes forth in majesty and glory, the angel hosts bow low in adoration before the Redeemer and welcome him with songs of praise. Yes. At the death of Jesus, the soldiers had beheld the earth wrapped in darkness at midday. But at the resurrection, they saw the brightness of the angel illuminate the night and heard the inhabitants of heaven singing with great joy and triumph, "Thou hast vanquished Satan and the powers of darkness. Thou hast swallowed up death and victory." Mortals never tire of trying to catch the exultant joy of that resurrection morning. So, as we stretch our minds to somehow ourselves experience it, let us sing together hymn number 166, "Christ the Lord is Risen."
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Rejoice and triumph high, Alleluia. See ye heavens and earth reply,
Before Christ came into our world, and even before the nation of Israel was entrusted with the oracles of God, the ancient, the righteous patriarch Job had the assurance that after his body had decayed in the grave, he would, in a new body of flesh, see God. Amen? Amen. Hear his words as we found them in Job chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, for I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." John chapter 11, 1 through 43 makes it clear that Jesus had informed his friends regarding the resurrection. You will remember that Jesus had sent notice that Lazarus was very sick and ill. His sisters were in hopes that Jesus would come and heal him. But Jesus waited until Lazarus had been dead for several days before going to see them. Let us note especially verses 23 to 26. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Here we have the context of that conversation, the resurrection at the last day. Another way of saying that the resurrection of Christ's second coming to the end of the age. So in the context, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives when the last resurrection occurs and believes in me shall never die." Amen? Amen. These are Jesus' own words regarding the death, resurrection, and those who are translated rather than seeing death. The Apostle Paul broadens our understanding of the resurrection of hope. Let us now turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Just as Jesus referred to Lazarus, death as a sleep, so Paul calls death a sleep. Please note that in each case where the word sleep is used, the margin says died or dead. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul denotes a whole chapter of the epistle to the affirmation of the resurrection of hope. He was adamant that there is a resurrection at Christ's second coming, which is based on the fact of Christ's glorious personal resurrection. Let us begin by reading verse 51, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Looking at verse 51. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Amen? What a joyful, joyful day that will be. All of our loved ones who have passed away, everyone who we have lost to death, we shall see again. Amen? That glorious day is soon to break upon our old sin-cursed planet. Here's the word picture that was taken from The Great Controversy by Ellen White. Soon there appears in the cast in the east a small black cloud, half the size of a man's hand. It is that cloud that surrounds the Savior, which seems in the distance to be shrouded in darkness. Can I get a witness? Amen. The people of God know this is to be the sign of the Son of Man. In a solemn silence, they gaze upon it as it draws near, 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 closer to earth, becoming lighter and more glorious until the great white cloud appears. It's the base of glory like consuming fire, and above it, the rainbow of the covenant, which was first seen at the flood. Jesus rides forth as a mighty conqueror, not now as a man of sorrow to drink the bitter cup of shame and woe. He comes as the victor of heaven and earth, to judge the living and the dead. With anthems of celestial melody, the body of angels that surrounds the entire universe, vast, unnumbered throng, attend him on his way. The firmament seems to be filled with radiant forms, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands upon thousands of angels. The King of Kings ascends upon the cloud, wrapped in flaming fire. The heavens are rolled together as a scroll. The earth trembles before him. Every mountain and island is moved out of place. Can you imagine? Amid the reeling of the earth, the flashing of lightning and the roar of thunder, the sound of the Son of God comes and calls forth the sleeping saints. He looks upon the graves of the righteous from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and raising his hand, he cries, "Awake, awake, awake. He that sleeps in the dust, arise." Throughout the length and the breadth of the earth, the dead that are dead in Christ shall hear his voice, and they shall live, they shall live. The whole earth shall ring with the tread, an exceedingly great army of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and every people. From the prison and the house of death they came, clothed with immortal glory, crying, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The living righteous are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the voice of God, they were glorified. Now they are all made immortal, and with the risen saints are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Friends long separated by death are united, nevermore to part, and with songs of gladness ascend together to the city of God. You want to be there? Amen. Amen. This, friends, is our hope. This, friends, is our eternal hope, the hope of all ages.
Our hope. Shadows fell over God's fair world the day when Adam sinned. They lengthened and grew deeper with each new millennium. But never was the dark as black as on the day Christ died, the day he bore your sins and mine when he was crucified. He hung there, naked, bleeding, bruised, derided, and alone. He bore our guilt by suffering heart agony unknown. So awful was the dreadful scene, the sun refused to shine. A black cloud veiled our Lord's last woes. He bore your sins and mine. And darkness, like a pall of death, hung over Jerusalem. The thunder roared, the lightning flashed, fear gripped the hearts of men. The face of Jesus shone forth with glory as he said, "'Tis finished, Father. In your hands I rest." Then he bowed his head. The sins of all the world had broken his great heart of love, while angels and unfallen beings watched and wept above. The temple veil was rent in two. The evening lamb ran free to show that God's true sacrifice was made for you and me. Frightful rumblings like deep thunder, then a strong earthquake, broken rocks, opened graves made men in terror shake. They gently laid the Lord of glory in a narrow tomb. Fears, dread, dashed hopes, and tears began that Sabbath day of gloom. But ere the dawn had broken, on the first day of the week, a mighty angel pierced the night, the Father's will to speak. God's glory clothed his form, which made the soldiers fall as dead. He rolled away the stone which closed the tomb, and then he said, "Son of God, arise, come forth, your Father calls for you." As angels knelt and the earth quaked, Christ came forth from his tomb. The Son of Righteousness arose with glory and might, forevermore to bathe in light the shades of death's dark night. Now death is just a sleep for those who in God's love are found, a sleep until the day of angels shout and trumpet sound, when all the angels and our Lord return and light the sky with unsurpassing glory to receive his saints on high. The graves will open, and the dead in Christ will arise first. Then we, who are alive, be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Caught up will be to meet our Lord, forever with him be. The darkness sin has made dispelled for all eternity.
Amen.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God.
Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Amen.
Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The deacons this morning will wait upon us for our morning tithe and offering.
Thank you.
Dear God, you gave the ultimate gift, the best gift that this earth, this planet, humanity has ever received. And in return, dear God, we come to you saying thank you. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that he made. And we thank you for the provisions that you give us. Even through our trials and tribulations, thank you for life and sustenance and health. We ask you that you will receive our tithe and offering as a gesture of faithfulness and hope in the eternal hope of the soon return of your son, Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please have a seat.
Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Let us exalt him by singing hymn number 223, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Shall we stand?
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthems drown, all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown him the Lord above, behold his hands and side, those wounds yet visible above, glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondry eye at mystery so great. Crown him the Lord of peace, whose hand a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, let all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round his pierced feet.
bow heads. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Is risen. Alleluia. He is risen. Alleluia. He is risen.